Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. My name is Tim Heady, and as usual, I've got my friend Rod Fox over here. How's it going?
It's going wonderful, Tim. How are you?
I'll tell you what, it was a great Memorial Day weekend.
And, Labor Day.
Labor
Day weekend. It was a holiday off for all of us.
A holiday off.
Yes, that's right. So, no, it was very nice. I know you you went up north. I stuck around home because I've been traveling way too much.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to be able to just kind of hang out and do the things that I wanted to do.
Yeah, I hear you with that traveling too much. Next week I got to go to Chicago for a couple of days for a tool show.
Yeah.
It gets monotonous, you know. It's like even... You need a vacation after your vacation.
Yes, yes. So. And sometimes just staying home, you know, what they call them now, staycations or something. Or that, that name populated itself here a few years ago when, you know, the economy was kind of in the tank, that have a staycation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you know what? Just me sitting at home, you know, having a frosty cold one's nice enough for me.
You know, I go out to the garage. I live with my wife and two teenage daughters, so, you know.
Sanctuary.
A vacation, it sometimes is not.
You know? So, no, we just call that your sanctuary.
My sanctuary. Yeah, okay, that's a good word. So, anyways, we're here every week to help you at home get a cleaner, drier, healthier, safer, and more energy efficient home.
Absolutely.
And if you need to contact us, just get on MidwestBasementSystems.com. You can actually go to the About Us section on the left-hand side and go to the radio show, and then there's a place in there you can leave comments. So if you want to talk about something, you want us to talk about a certain something, or you don't agree with something we've said, or you have actual proof that Rod is wrong, please drop us a note.
I tell you what, you're going to need a lot of proof to be able to.
Yeah, I haven't been wrong yet, but you know.
That's right.
And there's a lot of great stuff in there in our information center, and as far as hiring contractors. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, too, because I've been hearing a couple of things out there as far as people being taken advantage of. And I'm not going to go to specific situations or anything like that. And we're not going to talk about certain contractors because we don't do that here.
No, that's...
But
those people stand out on their own. You don't have to point fingers. So
they take care of themselves. Anyways, Rod, you had a great subject that you wanted to talk about as far as when you're building a house.
Right. You know, I had a couple of people come to me that were building homes. We get these calls all the time at Midwest Basement Systems as far as, hey, I'm thinking about building a home. Could you guys waterproof it? But in the aspect of when you're planning to build your home, these are some of the things that people don't think about unless they've had some kind of a negative experience in the past with a previous home, or you know, they grew up in a home that had a leaky basement or had damp odors, things like this. And you know, they're about to make one of the largest investments, probably the largest investment with time.
Well,
in building a home.
And when you're building a home, I mean, that's like one of the huge causes for divorce. That is a very stressful situation to go through.
It is. You're taking on what typically is like a second job until this is all done.
Yep.
But there are so many aspects. Great contractors out there to build homes. I mean, we drive by them all the time. But there are also some situations where there are building aspects or in the building science trade of when we know that the home construction is being done, that there could be a little bit more care taken. And maybe just a little bit more of an investment. And I mean, when I tag a little bit, I'm saying little. It's not, you know, huge investments.
Well, yeah, in the scheme of $250,000 house.
Absolutely. That can provide you with the lowest risk and nearly what we call statistically insignificant of your home ever having water come into it again. Or,
right.
You know, or getting these real damp areas in your basement with high relative humidity. Because you have to understand what building science is. And a lot of it, you know, during the construction phase is dealing with what kind of tiling system you're going to use, the quality of the concrete you're going to use,
right.
What kind of damp proofing or waterproofing membrane is going to go on the outside. Do you have a vapor barrier that you're putting on the inside? How many times, Tim, and this is to me, I think it should be outlawed. I mean, hands down, I do. I think it's the dumbest thing that they put out there. And these insulation blankets. You get a home built, and then all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes in with this.
It's like 4 feet of fiberglass that hangs from the joist system down the wall.
Right.
And what a horrible idea.
Absolute horrible idea. If you have this in your house, I would highly recommend that maybe you think about removing it.
Right. And what they've done, I mean, there's minimums that the builder has to go through in order to get kickbacks from the power company.
Right.
Usually this is the way that it works.
Yeah.
And this gets him to that minimum. And, you know, he has to insulate so much of the wall. Well, you know, concrete walls absorb moisture and they pass moisture. It's called capillary action and vapor transmission.
Right.
There's nothing we can ever do about that. And even when you spray the tar on the outside of the foundation, you know, as soon as you backfill it, the dirt starts drawing the solvents out of the tar.
That's
right.
It starts breaking it down. It's not a permanent fix.
Right. So this fiberglass blanket starts to absorb this moisture. And as this fiberglass blanket gets wet, you know, we all know what holds together fiberglass. It's just a bunch of little bitty shards of glass or strands of glass that are held together with an agent that's mostly made up of cow urine.
Yeah.
Now, why they chose that, I have no idea. It's none of my business. But it starts to smell. It starts to reek. You get mold in there.
Right.
You know, and then it becomes an allergen-producing agent.
So there's a lot of questions that people have about what is the proper items to use, proper method to make sure that I don't have all of these retrofits later on. You know,
right.
I had somebody come in, they, you know, when the contractor was in there and building it, he didn't put up a vapor barrier or he put up these insulation blankets. And now I know that I need to get those things removed. You know, this is where doing a lot of the things we talk about in Ten Commandments of hiring a contractor, but also asking a lot of questions. If you don't understand building science, you know, we've got a couple of great books that would help you out. You can get a hold of us at Midwest Basement Systems. We can walk you through the process. If you haven't dug the hole yet, or if you're getting ready to dig the hole, trust me, having more information, and that's all I'm talking about, is just having more information will never hurt you.
Right.
And a lot of times what you'll find out is the questions that then you are going to ask may not be able to be answered because you know the question you're asking, you already have the answer to, and you realize, hey, if I'm putting my money towards the purchase and building of this property, I want to make sure that it's done properly and correct. And if I know that this isn't the right thing to do, and now I'm questioning, you know, a subcontractor, a contractor on why they're doing it, and a lot of times what they'll say is like, well, this is the way we've always done it. Well,
you know, why? Buildings,
yeah,
because some of the
right.
stuff that even city codes, some of them don't make any sense. And
well,
we've gone to bat with them, or not really gone to bat. Usually the city municipalities will just sit down with you.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting sometimes when, you know, because we get building permits for the things that we do. And when the repairs are being made and you have a city inspector there and you're teaching them, you mm-hmm. know, about how these repairs are being done and the reasons for it. And they look at you and they're like, man, that makes sense. And, you know, okay, you can't know everything. That's why, you know, you're experts in the area of what we do. But if we don't know it, we're going to seek out an expert. We're not.
Right.
And if you are building a home and you're relying on a contractor, make sure that that contractor has a great understanding of what building science is. And I'm not saying they don't. But there are certain products that you should be questioning whether they're being used or not being used. Formadrain. I'm going to pick on a product that, you know,
I
was...
I love this product. Yeah. It's good for our business.
Yeah. Formadrain is a PVC rectangular product that has cutouts on the side of it. The intent was to eliminate one step in the process of where they would frame up to have a footing, concrete
right.
footing poured. And then this would also act as an exterior and interior tiling system to help alleviate the footing water pressure.
It basically shaped like a board.
Right.
It became your form.
Yeah. It typically looks like it's about 2.5 inches wide by, you know, upwards of 8, 9, 10 inches, depending on the size. They're various sizes. But here's one thing that I have to tell you. I've gone out to several new construction sites and looked at Formadrain, and the guys installing it put the slots on the inside where the concrete was being poured.
Right. Or they left gaps in between the pieces, or there was spillage.
That's another one.
Fill the thing with concrete.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that was just it. There was other, you know, they hadn't cleaned it up. They hadn't, and, you know, I've looked at areas that have been excavated where it was. And you're right. The spillage, you're talking about flowable concrete now filling these areas where
right.
These slots are to allow moisture to come in. And you think, okay, maybe somebody had a good idea, but there are so many.
But they loused it up.
Right. But there are so many installation issues that have to be handled properly for it to even potentially work.
Right.
You know, for potentially, because again, it is still sitting down in the dirt and mud.
And think about what's happening when that footing is being put in. Okay, they've got their guys there by the hour. You know, somebody's in charge, so somebody wants to short something. They've got the concrete pump there, which is by the hour. I mean, everything happens. The clock is ticking.
Right.
Okay. They need to get that concrete, get it in the ground, and get everybody off the site in order to make a profit.
Right.
So, and I'm not saying that there's not good contractors out there, and I'm not saying all contractors are bad. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's just so easy to louse up this particular product, and that's right. Why. I mean, I'm with you. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah. No. I mean, so there's questions about that kind of thing that, you know, as far as, and again, we are experts in the field of waterproofing and foundation repair.
Yeah, we see stuff later and after it needs to be fixed.
That's right. So. So that when we're talking about this, it wasn't just a product we picked out to say, hey, listen, you know, should we bash something today? No, these are products that
what can we bash today? Yeah,
these are products that have been used and used wrong, and there are better products out there. There are better steps that you could take for a minimal cost. Because
well, we got to get to a break. Okay. We'll be right back and talk about more of that. So don't go nowhere. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we were talking about some of the things that happen during new home construction.
Right. You know, some of the questions that we get posed are, and the point I was about to make right before the break was that we get people that say, boy, if I'd have known that you know this product was available to me when I was building my house, could it have been installed then? Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you know, you got friends that have bought new cars. You've bought new cars. I've bought new cars. I don't like paying for them, but I've bought them. But, you know, typically when you buy a new car, you go, you look at the Chevys, you look at the Fords, you look at the Nissans, you look at everything so that you can make sure you're making the best decision. And, you know, you're weighing all your options and the costs and everything. And this is a product that, hey, if you drive it for a month and don't like it, you can go trade the thing off. It's no big deal. Yet you'll build a house and not investigate the products going into your house and the products that you need, and you don't know what's out there, what you could have had. Boy, I wish I could have had that, you know, and then you'll accept this house, and this is probably something you intend to spend the rest of your life in.
That's exactly right.
So sometimes we make decisions that don't make any sense.
Well, and like I said, if you feel uncomfortable with the response that you're being given, you know, again, following the Ten Commandments of hiring a contractor, talk to the expert. I'm not just talking about the specifics of the topic today. I'm talking about electrical, roofing, siding, flooring, you know, any aspect. If you're asking good questions and you're not getting, you know, what I'm going to call as a responsible, common sense answer, then do a little bit more digging. You should always have a little bit more knowledge than you do today when you're asking questions, and don't accept one single answer.
You know? Well, and if you want to look at our 10 commandments for hiring a contractor, go to MidwestBasementSystems.com, go to the About Us section on the left-hand side, and there's a drop-down menu, and one of the options is hiring a contractor. And we feel very, very strongly about this. I don't want to get off on this today so much, but again, it never ceases to amaze me. People will hire a contractor, and I'm not saying that you got to know the guy. You know, I'm not saying you're going out for beers with the guy.
Right.
But don't you want to know where he's at, you know, where these are important issues. You got to live with these mistakes, okay?
Right.
And if you're building a house, you got to live with what's the average house right now? It's 200 grand, 250.
No, yeah,
I mean, it's in excess of 200 grand,
right?
And you're going to make a decision based on what, you know,
yeah,
are you going to have your roof done,
right?
Okay, now to me, if I was having my roof torn off and put back on. And I've made this particular mistake before with a roofer, as you will know. But I want to know where the guy is. You know, where's his neck if I need to ring it?
Yeah.
You know, this is important stuff.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, as you're moving forward, you know, it's always fun. And I've built a, you know, paid for and had a house built for me. So I know where the excitement. Yeah, well, you know, that's a whole other segment.
Sorry, I said
no, that's all right. But there's a level of excitement when you start thinking about the finished product, you know, because nobody wants to look at a house as it's half built going, yay, this is it. You know, you're looking for the fun you're going to have, the times raising your kids, having friends and family over, all those kinds of things. But trust me, nothing is more important than taking a keen interest in every aspect. And I was this way. I was kind of a pain, you know, to my contractor, and he even let it out to his subs to know that I was, you know, a guy who stopped by every day. That, you know, I realized that decisions are being made every day on the craftsmanship, in the design of every aspect of the house as it's being built. I thought it was all laid out. I thought it was, you know, take slot A and put it into tab B, you know, that kind of thing. It's like this cookie cutter approach. I picked out a home design. They're going to be able to build it for me. That's not how it works. I mean, I can't imagine
going through building a house. I mean, God bless those that do, but.
But I was a stickler. I mean, to the point where I went over and I cleaned up every night because I said, you know, if these guys come back and have a nice, clean place, they're going to take more time and respect. Well, they did, you know, in a former life. I pulled up in a patrol car, too, so maybe that was one of the reasons funny. That day.
You know, I think decent contractors don't mind. I mean, I know at Midwest Basement Systems, you know, we have customers like that. So
yeah.
We have customers that you never see them. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
We have customers that are there all day long, and they have questions to ask and everything else, and our guys are just happy as, you know, can be to answer questions.
Sure.
Because then they know, okay, this homeowner knows what's going on. It's the right guy that you don't see, that, you know, never asks one single question.
Until it's complete.
Right. Now, okay, we're going to be dealing with this guy for, you know, not that we don't want to deal with our customers, but we're going to be answering questions for this guy for how long now, because he wasn't here through the process.
Right. And that's part of the Ten Commandments is, you know, question what's going on while, you know, the projects are being done. Because, A, it's educational for you. You're going to understand more about it when the crew is done and gone. You know, when somebody else comes over and says, hey, that looks like a great project, how, you know, tell me how they did this, you're going to be able to make that answer. You're not going to be able to go, well, I don't know. I went to work every day and never saw them. You know, I came home, they were gone, and ultimately this thing was built. Now, that's what you want to do. You want to be inquisitive. You want to ask questions and, you know, get common sense responses. And if something doesn't make sense, you know.
If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you got to find out what's going on.
Yeah, so, and you know, if you get words like, well, it just is.
Yeah, it's just the way we do it.
Why is that? I want to know why that is. Okay, what makes this a better pump than this one over here?
That's right. That's right. You know, and we see this all the time. That, you know, the difference between a standard footing and a trench footing. Well, why would they put in a trench footing? Well, it's much quicker.
Right.
Yeah, much easier. They didn't realize that they were going to have these settlement issues later on in life. And, you know, if people don't understand what a trench footing is, just when they come back in with a small mini excavator, dig out a large trench and they frame up at the top and they pour the trench full of concrete, frame the footing up, and they utilize that as the frost footing, thinking that they're not going to have any kind of movement later on because they've gotten below the frost. You know, it's probably one of the most common foundations we see issues with, because there's no real base.
You have to spread the load.
Right. Yeah. If people don't understand what a spread footing is, your footing does spread the weight of the wall, the weight of your home. You know, it spreads it on a wider pad than it does to give it some stability.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you're never going to have any settlement issues.
Right.
As we know this year,
the risk
there's a lot out there.
Yeah, that's right. The risk is a little bit less. But trench footings, you know, people, especially with additions, well, you know, we weren't going to put a – so we just had a crawl space and they just decided they're going to put a trench footing in because it went quick. Well, you know, there's risk levels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, whoever decided to do this put you at higher risk than your neighbor who probably didn't do it that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of questions that you want to ask. And, you know, most of the questions that were tailored towards me were, what can we do to assure that we're not going to have a wet basement later on? Well, obviously, you know, I'm in the industry, so I was explaining to them the kind of products that we have and how the installation should take place. And they were going to go back and talk to their contractor. Now, sometimes contractors are a little bit hesitant to have another sub come in that they've never worked with, but I've always told them, hey, one of the benefits you get as a contractor is that we take over the warranty.
We have the liability for that wet basement. Now.
Right, because, you know, we see homeowners after something's happening. Nobody calls us up because they're, you know, they bought a home and the basement's dry.
Right.
They call us because they're having an issue. Oh, I've tried dealing with my contractor. He's come over. He's put, you know, he put this big glob of urethane on the wall and said that would take care of it. And the water's still coming in at the wall and floor joint. And I'm so frustrated and he's so frustrated. And, you know, pretty soon everybody's getting ready to, you know, start paying lawyers' bills. Yep. And, you know,
and, you know, then you got this house that you were in love with before and now you hate.
Yeah.
Just because the corner of the basement gets wet.
You know? When all of these issues could have been handled early on, and that's what I, you know, as a general contractor, and please, if you're listening to the show, give us a call. I'd be more than happy to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you and tell you how we can eliminate some of the liabilities that you may have with the minimal cost that can be transferred right to the homeowner. Because all of the people that we talk to say, I would have gladly paid that extra amount of money early on to know I never would have had to have gone through this headache and frustration, especially if it's a finished basement.
Yeah, really, wouldn't you pay a couple extra grand? I mean, and I don't know what it would be. I'm not quoting prices
here. Yeah, well, it all depends on the size of the home.
Instead of 5 years later or even a year later, I mean, how many homes have you been in, Rod, where this home was not even occupied yet?
Yeah. Yeah, we have waterproof homes that were sitting on the market. They're brand new homes.
Back in the heyday of all the building, what, 06, 07?
Yeah.
My God, they were throwing them up so quick, and the excavators were crushing the tiles. Not every time, I don't get that impression, but you know, it just everything was put in improperly. And let's face it, that tiling system, when they build your home, is pressure relief. It is not a waterproofing system. And the tar they spread on the side of the walls is called damp proofing. I don't know where they get that, but it's not a waterproofing membrane.
That's exactly right. And I don't understand where people get the. And I'm sure it's an assumption. Everybody assumes some things, but there's like, well, see the dark spot? They obviously put something up there. And
it's
then
tar.
you have to explain to them. It's like, yes, however, it is not a permanent repair. So, you know, there's lifespans to certain products. And like you said.
Yeah, they don't do anything. Typically, they don't do anything when they build a house for long-term waterproofing.
Right.
They just don't.
No, so. That's just it. All the items that are installed per code have such a high risk of failure that's why the industry we have industries and what we're in.
Right.
If it all worked, you and I would be doing something different.
Yeah, and I think last year we put in somewhere around 53,000 feet of waterproofing.
Yeah.
And last year was not a particularly wet year.
That's right.
So, I mean, the waterproofing part of the business was probably down a little bit.
Yeah.
So we got to get to a break. And when we come back, I talked last week about ozone generation. I want to talk about that a little bit more because I want people to understand what that is. And, you know, there's new industries popping up, and I want people to understand that.
Okay.
So we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere. All righty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we had a spirited discussion on the break, but we're not going to go into that. But at any rate, I wanted to talk about ozone generation.
Okay.
And if people don't know what ozone generation is, I want to be clear about this. I'm not completely bashing the product, and I'm certainly not bashing the contractors that believe in it. I personally don't believe in it. I have to see better evidence. I have to see something that says that there's any validity to it. I understand the principle of it. In ozone generation, you see these little wood grain boxes, you know, I think Free Air is one of them. And,
yeah.
You know. But what they do is they sit there and they call it ionized air. And what happens is basically it's a little ozone generator. It sits there and it creates ozone and it sends it out in the air. And if you don't know what ozone is that lightning produces ozone. And it's God's gift to us to break down the particulates in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the things that does do that. You obviously got UV, and then you've got ozone. And that kills, like, the mold spores, stuff like that. And it actually does that. It actually goes out, seeks out the mold spores, kills them. So now you've got mold spores.
Right.
You know. The problem in our home is that we can put this thing in there, and we can turn it way up, and it's got that, I don't know, what would you say that smell is, Rod? It's kind of like
metal.
Almost a what?
Metally smell.
A metally smell. And, you know, then you know somebody's got it turned up too high. You can actually turn it up to the point where you can have a decomposing corpse in the other room and not smell it. Here's the issue. You don't do anything about the decomposing corpse.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not good to have this decomposing corpse in the other room. Now, don't use it for that purpose.
Yeah.
But if we've got a leaky basement and the leaky basement is affecting the building materials down there and the building materials are starting to mold, the ozone generator is not going to do anything for that. So we can crank up this ozone generator, and we can kill all the mold spores and bacteria in the air for now, and the basement still leaks, and the wood is still rotting, and the fiberglass is still rotting. You starting to see my point here, Rod?
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't do anything about the underlying issue.
Right. You're treating a symptom, not the root cause of the issue.
Right. You got a cold, you can't just blow your nose and that's it, man. You gotta somehow treat the cold.
What we're getting to is there's an industry that seems to be growing that is coming in to try and help people treat environments of their home that have these odd or strange or menacing odors, you know, whether it be from strong mold mildew smells. What they're doing is they're coming in and they're creating a different environment. They're turning these ozone generators on, and with the idea that, hey, I'm going to do some airborne quality testing upon arrival, then I'm going to do some outbound air quality testing to show you what we've been able to do, and then they turn around and leave. And everything, you know, you didn't fix anything that caused the root problem. What you did was you just changed the environment. Well, as we've spoken about for years now here with building science, we know that the stack effect in a home does air exchange.
Right. You know, it's drawing the air out of the basement,
right,
where probably a lot of your source of your problem is.
Right.
There's natural effects that we talk about the building science all the time. There's natural effects that happen. If you draw humid air into a basement or into a crawl space, you get condensation.
Right.
It's cooler down there than it is outside. So warm, humid air comes in, gets in your basement, and say we lower the temperature 20 degrees, and we know that for every degree that we lower the air temperature, we raise the relative humidity 2.2%.
Right.
And that's a cumulative effect. You can't just take 10 times 2.2 and say, okay, I raised the relative humidity 22%.
Right.
It's actually much more than that because it's a cumulative effect. So we take this, you know, all this moisture, we let it start to rot our building materials, or if there's a water problem down there, we start to let it rot our building materials.
That's right.
The air starts to circulate up into the second floor, or the main floor, then the second floor, then the third floor if you have one. And by the time you get up into your attic, it's so darn humid, you can't stand to be there.
And that's just it, you know, and people become, they will start to adapt to their environment. So if you never take care of the root cause and you have an ozone generator and it's working at its minimal levels and never fixing the problem, you may turn up the ozone generator and then turn it up again. And, you know, one of the things about ozone generators, are there dangers? Absolutely. At higher concentrations, ozone generators can cause, and I'm just reading this, it's chest pains, coughing, shortness of breath, throat irritation, and they may worsen to chronic respiratory diseases as asthma or compromise the ability of the body to fight respiratory infections. And we're putting these in our home. You know, and this is I always like to do a little bit of an analogy. And, you know, a little is good. Yeah, Mother Nature provides it for us. I mean, it's created that way. But a lot is not. Too much food can cause you to be overweight. Too much water can cause you to drown. You know, overdosing on life-saving medicine can make you ill. A little and done correctly. But again, the root problem has to be addressed. You can't just keep treating a symptom and expect it to go away.
For this particular industry, what they've, you know, as you said, they come in, they do initial tests to see how many particulates and whatever is in the air.
Right.
Then they evacuate the house. All the people have to leave. They close the doors, windows, and everything. Put commercial grade ozone generators in every room.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you're allowed to come back in, they open up all the windows and doors, let all the ozone back out because they figure they've killed everything.
That's right.
And then the people can come back in and everybody's happy. Until
you get a simple 24-hour air exchange and guess what? The whole thing's
back in the same situation.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got mold, I mean, their theory is that they're going to kill the mold. But if you've got mold, something produced the mold. I can't stress this enough.
Yeah.
There was a leak and there was organic material. And all we know one thing. If we want to grow mold, we got to have absence of ultraviolet rays. We got to have a food source and a moisture source.
That's right.
And an ideal temperature. Around 70?
Yeah.
Which is where we like our house to be?
Yeah. That's just it. When you start thinking about it, and Mother Nature provides 25% of the Earth's biomass as fungal growth. It's Mother Nature's way of breaking down and decomposing. Otherwise, we'd be walking out in leaves and sticks and trees and everything else that would always would never decompose.
Yeah, here's one for you. Now, when I moved into my house that I'm living in currently, and we've since replaced the furnace, but the furnace had a humidifier. So the humidifier was putting moisture into the ducts.
Oh, yeah.
Humidifying the home. That was their theory. The problem was that we know that if we start throwing moisture into our ductwork and there's a food source in there, the dust, the particulates, dust, whatever. So
a low UV environment.
Right. So it's a perfect breeding ground for mold, right?
Yeah.
So the filter on this furnace was basically an ozone generator. It was one of those little, you've seen them, they're like, I don't know.
Electrostatic
filter. Okay, so I'm generating ozone to kill the mold that I've just created, you know?
What an industry, Tim.
Yeah. I mean, it's like in the waterproofing industry, let me come to your house, turn your garden hose on, leave it next to the house so your basement leaks, and you can hire me to fix it. You know, what sense does this make? So, you know, obviously I replaced the furnace
it's like
after about a year.
Going to McDonald's and ordering a Big Mac and with a side of diet pills.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, we create a problem, then we try to fix it, and it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So,
no.
What are you going to do? But that's the skinny on ozone generators. I'm not a fan, and I'm not completely bashing the industry because it is somewhat new. So if you're a contractor out there or you're somebody that truly believes in ozone.
Well, here's the other issue. I've gone into a lot of elderly customers' homes. And these ozone generators are going, and they're going way too high.
Yeah.
And I've alerted the homeowners about them. I've told them that, hey, you know, you want to turn these things down, you should never be able to smell or almost get that taste in your mouth,
right,
of that metallic taste in your mouth. And that's because the environmental conditions are so saturated with it. So, you know, if you've got a parent or somebody that was talked into buying one of these things saying, hey, this is going to prevent mold in your house, it will help with the environmental conditions, you know, maybe you want to talk to your parent about it and say, hey, listen, I think that, you know, with a little understanding, we need to be turning that down. But there's a couple other ways that we can create a healthier environment in your home through dehumidification and air filtration. But right, if there's a root cause, those things want to be addressed also. I mean, we never walk into a crawl space environment and say, well, let me put a Sanidry down in here where I can filter and dehumidify but never encapsulate the crawl space because, you know, you can't dry out the ground, you know.
Right. And again, if you're somebody that really believes in this or you're a contractor and, you know, we're not bashing you or your product necessarily – but we do invite you to come over and explain your side.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, this is, if we got it wrong, come convince us. Like you said before, you know, we need to deal with our problems through air filtration and dehumidification because usually the humidity is what's causing these issues.
That's correct.
Now, I had one of these guys come into the shop at one point. It's been a couple years ago. I think I told you about that. But he claimed that it would lower the humidity in a home.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
And I
remember he gave it to you for, what, 3 weeks?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I turned it on for a very short period of time. But I did kind of warn him. I said, you know, that's a heck of a claim.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a heck of a claim because I don't see how ozone is going to go out and control any humidity.
Right.
So we got to get to a break. We'll be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, guy. We were listening to Around the House, and we were talking about these ozone generators, and you kind of touched a little bit about how to actually deal with these issues. And the problem that we have is in the wintertime. In the wintertime, we're actually, you know, our house is closed up, and, you know, we've got the humidity that's being drawn out of the basement, and, you know, it's starting to create some stagnant air and
right,
some mold and mildew smells and stuff. So we figure, okay, we put this ozone generator in to basically mask the smell.
Yeah, and that's just it. When you're generating from a specific area, and that's why when we look at building science, especially with dehumidification, we're looking at cubic volume air exchange.
Right.
And that's not what these ozone generators do. There isn't an airflow that is strong enough to create. So, you know, where the generator is, if you put it in that room, where do you think the strongest levels of ozone are going to be at?
In that room.
In that room. So yep. You can't have one of these and think that your whole home is now being sought out by this ozone that's being generated, and, you know, the mold in my basement is in back in this storage room is going to be taken care of. Absolutely
right.
Not.
And, you know, like you mentioned before, you can have too much of this.
Yes.
You can have way too much of this, and I've seen the effects of that. So,
yeah.
But when we sleep, you know, if we've got these stupid things in our bedroom, when we sleep, we're breathing deeper. We're trying to off-gas all the junk that we picked up that day.
And we're bringing more in.
And we also know that the number one household allergen is what? Dust mite droppings.
Fecal matter of dust mites.
Fecal matter of dust mites. And the fecal matter is already dead.
Yeah.
So to send ozone out there to kill it doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense either.
Right.
You know, so.
You know, and like I said, there's... Building science will show us a lot of things. And, you know, there's a market for this, obviously, because people are buying them.
Right.
But what we're saying is if you don't know how to operate or how to understand why you have this unit installed, you know, if I'm doing it to take care of the odors that are being created because of a damp, musty crawl space or a damp, musty basement or I've got mold growing on drywall downstairs, understand, I mean, that's – you're not taking care of the root problem. You know, we talked about a medical analogy earlier and off the air. We're saying, you know, if you have high blood pressure, you don't just take medicine.
Right.
You change, you know, your lifestyle.
You've got to change your diet. You've
right.
got to start drinking light beer instead of the good stuff. I mean, you know,
but,
all these things.
But those kind of changes create a different environment. And that's
right.
what we're saying. Fixing the root cause of the problem creates a different environment for you. So you don't have to just go out and say, I'm going to treat the symptom. I'm not going to treat the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here about. You know, we want to make sure that you, again, drier, cleaner, safer, healthier, more energy efficient home. Not Band-Aid approaches. They're permanent repairs.
There's, you know, it just seems like there's always some kind of industry that's trying to pop up. It's like the ventilation systems for basements.
Yeah.
And, again, I'm not trying to bash an industry or
go ahead.
Product,
I will.
But, you know, yeah, no
that,
problem.
That is the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Yeah. You know, you're for one thing, you're depressurizing a basement that already has issues, so it probably has gravity appliances.
I'm sure Mother Nature appreciates all that conditioned air you're putting right back out that you paid for.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm not going to bash the entire industry. I'll let you do that next time around.
Yeah, but the idea, again, is, you know, when you try, when there's someone out there trying to shortcut a repair, saying,
right.
here, for $75, you can take care of the mold in your house instead of a several thousand dollar repair that's you're going to truly change the environment and change the health conditions of your home. What looks more appealing? $75.
Right.
Of course it does. You know, they said it would take care of my whole house. It's only $75. What's my risk level? Very low. You know, okay.
The unfortunate part is they go for many hundreds of dollars, not just $75.
Yeah, no, but that's just it. But people look at this and they, you know, there's so many things to disclaim what the, and you know, I've been in a lot of these homes. I get a huge headache when I smell this stuff. I mean, because you go in and you're like, wow, somebody's got an ozone generator going way too high on here, you know. And so you start questioning about what it is, the reason for it. And typically, it's odor control. They they see this as the
if you got pet dander or something that lingers in the air, then as far as I'm concerned, the air needs to be filtered, not poisoned.
Right. No, you're absolutely correct, and that's just it. But the number one reason that I've ever heard people say that they wanted to purchase one of these was for odor control. When the odor control, there's several other things that can – and what is the odors? You know, like you said, if it's pet dander, things like that, then
– Or is it mold spores or what?
Yeah.
And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, Rod, but you can kill a mold spore, and if that mold spore has the right conditions.
Yeah, it goes dormant, and then it can go and start.
Right. I mean, it actually takes a period of time to kill a mold spore.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and you have to use, there's chemical agents that can actually kill mold spores. But is an active environmental airborne mold spore, how are you going to do that? You're not spraying a mist into the air all the time. What you're doing is you're looking at cubic.
Wouldn't you rather find whatever's got the mold on it that's creating the mold?
That's right.
And I'll give you another one, too. You are never going to get rid of all the mold spores.
No, mold spores
are everywhere. Walk out of your house. You can never control the entire atmosphere around you. You're not in a bubble. You know, we're not talking about the boy in the bubble here.
Yeah. No, and that's just it. When it's Mother Nature's way of recycling natural waste.
Right. You know? It is a healthy, natural thing to have happen.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, that tree that fell over in your yard 10 years ago that you forgot to cut up is still going to be just as
like it was that day it fell
over.
Yeah,
it's still going to be the same as it was that day, and that doesn't make any sense.
No. So this, you know, when we look at this, we know that there are better products out there. There are better ways to approach those that kind of odor control.
Well, and again, if you're out there and you're somehow involved in this industry, feel free to give me or Rod a call.
Absolutely.
We have no problem whatsoever sitting down and expressing our views, let you express your views, and we'll have a discussion, you know, right at our office if you want. I'll bring the coffee.
Yep. You know? Absolutely.
I mean, there's got to be something more to this than what I'm seeing. I don't think there is.
But no. No, like I said, it's treating a symptom. You're trying to eliminate an odor by the generation of the ozone rather than trying to take care of the root cause of the problem. And that is our approach. Our approach has never been to mask over. You know, you cut your arm, you know, you need stitches. I'm not going to be there with a paper towel just trying to get it to stop bleeding. You know, you need stitches. There's so many things that people want to shortcut, thinking that it's a much easier approach, it's less intrusive. You know, I meet with customers all the time. We start talking about the types of foundation repair that are necessary to help them stabilize and repair their foundations, and they get a little worried, a lot of apprehensions, like, oh, it's going to be so much money. Or, well, you know, the dynamics of not doing something is so much worse that you almost have to lay out this, you know, here's the worst case scenario, and here's, you know, I know it's not the best case scenario. It's a best case scenario of what you have to do to invest to make this repair. It's not all sunshine and roses. You know, you've got a situation going on in your house that you're going to have to make an investment in to give a repair. And people just, you know, it's like, oh, there's going to be dust. Well, yeah, there's going to be dust. You know,
we're breaking concrete.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people think, well, okay, hey, you know, in a really wet year, those guys are over there, you know, taking truckloads of money to the bank. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's not a profitable business to be in, because it is. We're good businessmen as well. We take very good care of our business and our employees and everything. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, we're on this show every week telling people how to prevent problems that spring up in their house. And that's what we'd rather have you do. I mean, if you can prevent a problem with water by fixing your gutters, when our guy is out there, that's the first thing he's going to tell you. Hey, look, you don't have any gutters here, and there's a big hole that your dog dug, and this is the only place you have a problem.
Yeah. You know? Maybe we should address this issue.
Right.
You know, and that's just it. Like talking about this show, when we're talking about people that are – it's much more profitable for me to wait for your house to flood after you've built it rather than to talk to you about fixing it at a lower cost. But that's not the ethical, moral thing to do. You know, we're here to do the right thing for people. We know we're always going to be in business. We always know that there's going to be homes out there that have these issues. That's why we're always going to stay in business, because you stay in business doing the right thing all the time. So
And this is, you know, Des Moines is a great place anyways.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we really do wish the best for people. And the same thing with these ozone generators. And we're not here just trying to bash this industry. But, you know, if you are somehow, again, if you're in this industry and you don't agree with what we're saying, you know, at the very least, drop me an email and show me some evidence. Show me something. Show me a website to go to that actually backs up. And we're talking about good building science here. I don't want somebody coming into my office and saying, well, you know what, this is what it does.
How does it do that?
You have to be able to explain to me how it does that.
Look at what my marketing pamphlet says, Tim. This is the honest truth.
Yeah, you know? Well, sometimes people make claims that may or may not be 100% entirely true.
That's true. That's absolutely true. But if you need to get a hold of us, go on the internet at MidwestBasementSystems.com.
And there's a lot of great information on our website. I mean, what were you telling me the other day? It's like a couple hundred pages or something like that.
Oh, yeah. If you went to every one of our links and the active links on each different page that takes you, it's like 386 different pages of information. That's what you see.
And then
behind the scenes, it's like 8,000 pages of computer data that generate all of the information. I mean, it's huge. I mean, I'm impressed. It's not four pages of, you know, home products, contact us, you know.
You know, you get on them web pages sometimes and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Who is this company? Where are they at? What do they do?
Yeah.
And you can't figure it out. Anyways, so get there or call us at 1-800-556-5697.
Locally at 515-289-1606.
Or just stop on in, 5153 Northeast 17th Street. We'd love to see you.
All right.
We'll talk to you next week.